Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your love for us, which is just awesome. Thanks for the Word of God that is especially designed to touch each one of our hearts, not just once, but multiple times throughout our lives. Lord, we pray that your complete and inerrant word, wonderful, pure word, will get into our hearts today in a special way. Thanks, Father, for this opportunity to read it together, to understand it, and try to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you open your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's on page 1014, and I'll be reading verses 13 through 16, another paragraph to think about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that would be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Anybody that knows me very well knows that I love history, and especially local history. And you know, the first people that lived in our area here, first white people, were fur traders, French fur traders, and Moravian missionaries. And they both of those groups work with the American Indians who lived here previously. These fur traders manipulated and stole from the Indians and tried to feed them as much fire water as they could, you know, because then it was easier to deal with them. And the missionaries tried to get them saved. You know, it was tough to separate these native people from their evil ways. They were polytheistic. They had a god everywhere. And of course, alcohol was ruining their lives. And the Moravians resorted to having chapel with them three times a day. And they resorted to changing them from hunters to farmers. They had to change everything about their lives, even the way they dressed, so that they could be holy. They were isolated from their former lives, but some of them got saved. Many did not. We should avoid becoming isolated from our culture. And we should put our inheritance into practice among people who need to see Jesus in us in our daily lives as special agents to the world that's around us. We are to put our living inheritance into practice in our world. A couple of words about grammar as we begin this passage. Notice in verse 13, it starts with the word therefore. And therefore is like a hinge word. Yesterday, I was by an old barn, and there was this gate that was like on the second story, and it would come unhooked. So every time the wind would blow, it would come out like this, and then go back like this, and then out and back. So therefore is a hinge word. It changes from thinking about stated facts in the earlier part of chapter 1, where it gives us a doxology about our salvation, how wonderful it is, how great it is, how fantastic it is, how people long to look into these things, the prophets, and even angels long to look into our salvation. And it directs us from just thinking about facts now to thinking about action. How do I put this into action? Activity that's associated with these facts. The reception of salvation should result in a life that reflects this change, this hinge that's there in the passage. Secondly, as you read down through this passage, there are five verbs, but there are only two commands. Fix your hope on something and be holy. Those are the two commands in those five things we're going to study about today. The other three are participles. They assist in making these commands happen. And it talks about preparing our minds, being self-controlled, not conforming to the world. Those are all participles that help us to fix our hope on the grace that is to be revealed when Jesus comes back, and to be holy. Without hope, without having hope, without fixing our hope, we're not going to live very well in this life, are we? Without preparing our minds, without being self-controlled, without conforming, not conforming to the world, we're not going to have hope. And being holy will not be possible without those three helping things that go along with these commands. So today, as we look at verses 13 through 16, let's look at five bullet points to help us to put into practice our living inheritance that we've received from Jesus, this living hope that we have because of Christ's death on the cross for you and for me. First of all, in verse 13, it says this: therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace that is to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So prepare your mind for action. And in different ways you could say that phrase. You could say, pull yourself together, man. Or get with it. Or it's time to get serious because of this salvation that you have and I have. And it talks here about having a disciplined mind. Obedience, you know, is a conscious decision of the will. I will do this with God's help. I know this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to do this with God's help. You discipline yourself to obey what God says. It's a mindset that's ready for action. You have the King James or the NASV, the original there says, gird up your minds for action. It's referring to tightening a belt or tying something down in preparation for action. You know, I hate to admit this, but during that time period, men used to wear long robes, almost like a skirt. And if a person wanted to move quickly or easily, he would pull up the corners of his robe through this belt so he could walk and tie the corners in place. And you know, a soldier would also do that before he went into battle. Apparently, they also wore long robes when he went into battle, and they would tie those into place. 1 Kings 18:46 talks about that. We're going to play sword drill today, so hold your Bible up, all of you. Okay, now I want you to look back. See who's going to find 1 Kings 18:46 first. 1 Kings 18:46. I need to see a hand. All right, stand up and read it for us. All right, good. So he prepared his mind for action, and his body for action in putting his robe into his belt. We'll look this up, but Ephesians 6:14 talks about soldiers who do that as well. So prepare your mind for action is the first bullet point. Second one is be self-controlled. And that's found in 13b. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. This talks about being sober-minded, to be calm, to be steady, to be controlled so that you can weigh matters and decide correctly what you should do. You know, we don't need drugs. We don't need alcohol. We need to be controlled not by outside circumstances, but rather by clarity within that the Spirit of God gives to us. You know, I've noticed that policemen often exhibit this characteristic. They make good decisions under fire. Our oldest son last week, as he's a policeman, and he made several decisions last week that resulted in the saving of an 11-year-old boy from a pond. You know, he's coming to work. He's in the car because he parks the car at his house, the police car, and they got this news about this kid in this pond. He broke through the ice, so he turned his siren on, and he got. And the decisions he made were: I got to get there as fast as I can, and I got to get this kid out of the water. And that's what he did, and the boy lived because of self-control, being sober-minded, getting there, doing what's right. 1 Thessalonians is chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Hold up your Bibles. I'm going to look this one up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8. Who's going to get there first? Okay, read it for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8. Good, thanks. So, putting into practice our living inheritance, first of all, prepare your minds for action. Secondly, be self-controlled. Thirdly, set your hope on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. That's the third part of verse 13. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Christ Jesus is revealed. We're to have an optimistic mind. Hope to the end in what Christ has promised us. It means to be all in. To be set on something. Completely, fully, without reserve. And we have to keep in mind always, we don't deserve what we receive. This is by grace. And what we are getting will be complete when Jesus returns. Now, Peter had already mentioned the return of the Lord three times in verses 5, 7, and 9. So that's a theme that runs through this. Set your hope on the grace to be given to you when Christ Jesus is revealed. Third verse that goes along with this is 1 John 3:3. Ready? Look it up. 1 John 3:3. Who's going to get? Okay, Betsy.
And everyone who thus trusts in him purifies himself as he is pure.
Good. Has his hope fixed on him, purifies himself just as he is pure. They're all in, aren't they? They're all in. They've determined that this is what they're going to do. There's no reserve. You know, I played football in high school, and I played center. And some, you know, it seemed like we were always playing against teams. The guys were about 50 pounds heavier than we were. And our coaches were always kind of afraid for us. You go and play against Lawtonville, you guys are going to get hurt. So they gave us games to play on the line. So you didn't have to hit somebody head on. You could hit them from the side. You know, and kind of run out of there before they got noticed that you were the one that did it. And so I would hike the ball, and then we'd run this trap, and I would step right. And I'd have to get my head in front of that guy. The defensive tackle was there, and hit him from the side, like you'd hit him right in the rib cage, and he'd never see you coming. But you had to be determined that you were going to get there. Because if you didn't get there in time, that guard that's coming this way is going to run right into you. And the linebacker that's coming over here that the guard's going to get is going to eat our quarterback alive. So in order for that play to happen, I had to set my mind upon that. I had to fix my mind is, yeah, snap the ball, step right, get your head in front of this guy. Don't waver. Don't tarry, or it's going to be too late. Put this salvation into practice by preparing your minds for action, by being self-controlled, and by setting your hope on the grace that was given when Christ Jesus will be revealed. Fourth bullet point, don't be conformed to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Have an obedient mind, a world-shunning mind. Don't be shaped or fashioned by these evil desires. Holiness starts here, doesn't it? Right here, thinking. It includes a departure from ignorance and a renewal of our thought life. We have to live like we have been transformed on the inside, not to be artificial, but to be genuinely transformed. It's not like going into a store and talking with a greeter who acts if he's delighted to see you, but in reality, his back is killing him and he wishes you would go home and stay home. You wouldn't come back. One last verse we'll look up is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Who's going to get it? Romans 12, verse 2. Okay. Good. That word conformed, don't be conformed, occurs two times in the New Testament. Here in 1 Peter chapter 14 and there in Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Don't be conformed. Don't imitate. Don't allow those things to become a part of your life. Stay away from those things. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The final point, the last bullet point to help us put into practice our living inheritance is to be holy. Be holy, according to verses 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. So the type of mind here we should have is be holy minded. To be holy means to be different. Not to be odd, but to be different in a good way, to be different. To be set apart, for a specific purpose that God has for us. And that purpose, first of all, is to bear God's image so that people, when they see us, they say, that's what Jesus is like. That guy is like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. And also to obey his commands. Be like Jesus, obey his commands. I had David read Colossians chapter 3, or at least part of Colossians chapter 3 for us today. We could have also read Ephesians chapter 4. And those two chapters really put meat onto these verses here of what it means to be holy, to put off the old life and to put on the new life that we have in Christ. Yes, positionally, legally, we're holy before God when we accept Christ. But practically, we need to make this a part of our daily ways. You know, this week we had we attended two different funerals. We went to Corry, Pennsylvania for Cindy's cousin's funeral. And then on Friday, we went to calling hours for Dean Glenn at the Southview Grace Brethren Church. And both of these people were committed Christians. And, you know, it's a lot more fun to go to those kind of fun. It's a lot better to go to those type of funerals when you know the person is with Jesus. And everybody stands around and they talk about the type of impact this person had on their lives. And you see all the disciples and you see the things that they say, and they even repeat the words, or they talk about the last words that they had with these people, and they talk about the hope that they saw in this person's life right up to the very end. Peter is quoting here Leviticus chapter 11. We're not going to look this one up. Leviticus 11, chapter or verses 44 and 45, where God says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt," this is verse 45, "to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy." Be different. Be people who bear this image of Jesus so that other people can see, and change your thinking, change your behavior so it's consistent with what you have on the inside. It's consistent. It's not a good thing for kids or anyone else to see someone who says one thing and does another thing. That's very damaging for them to see. So how can we put our living inheritance into practice in our world? Prepare your minds for action. It's going to be action. It's going to be a war when we try to do these things. Nobody's going to pat us on the back to do this. You're going to be swimming upstream against the current. So you have to do this. You have to prepare your minds for action. You got to be self-controlled. Learned to be disciplined in your life. You have to set your hope on the grace to be given to you when Christ Jesus is revealed. This life is not the end. It's the only beginning. Eternity awaits us. Don't be conformed to all this stuff that we see around us. Be transformed. And finally, be holy. Be holy in all that you do. A couple questions as we end today. First of all, what steps are you doing to prepare your minds for action? How are you preparing this noggin for action? We need this, don't we? We need this. We need the Word of God, and we need to be putting it in here often. If you're going to prepare your mind, you've got to put something in there that has concrete things to do and say. And that's what this book gives us, the Word of God. You've got to be reading it. You got to be studying it. You got to be thinking about new ways to make it a part of your life. Preparing your minds for action. Do it. Secondly, does the grace that will be given to us in the future dominate our thoughts? It's not just about today. It's about eternity. There are going to be a lot of disappointments. There are going to be a lot of things we go through. It's kind of like a roller coaster sometimes. There are going to be down times. There are going to be up times. But guess what? In the end, we win. Set your hope on the grace that is to be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. Thirdly, what are you doing to prevent yourself from being conformed to the world? How are you staying away from that stuff? One thing that helps a lot of people is to have a partner that they pray with, a person that they're accountable to, so that, when you start drifting a little bit, somebody can kind of kick you a little bit. I mean, kick you in a nice way. The Bible tells us that wounds from a friend are a good thing. So it's good to do that. I met with Pastor Brad this week, and he kicked me a couple times, and it was good. And finally, do people see you as holy? They'll notice. They'll notice your life, and they'll say, I want to be like you because you're like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for these commands to set our minds on grace, the grace that's to be revealed, and to be holy. Lord, easy to write, easy to read, impossible to do without Jesus. Lord, help us to cling to you, help us to trust in you, and see what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand and